starting today.
The Dennis Stuckey Show is on. Information 1380 WPHM.
All right, welcome back. It's the Dennis Stuckey Show here on WPHM. It is a Wednesday, right?
I think so.
It is a Wednesday.
Allegedly a Wednesday, yeah.
And Matt is here from the Times Herald.
I am.
There's a lot going on. My game of the week is Marine City St. Clair. We'll be out there broadcasting that one, so I'm going to start right there.
Let's do it.
The over-under is a million.
Yes, it is, and I'm taking the over. Yeah, that's right.
If this is not a high-scoring game, then I've got to step down from doing this because there is no way these teams don't get at least into the 30s on Friday night, and maybe more.
Right on.
St. Clair is coming off a game where, 119 points were scored?
Yeah, a basketball score.
Yeah, and the last 2 weeks, Marine City has played, they were into the 60s last week, high 60s. And against Marysville, it went into the 80s.
Yeah, right.
High 80s.
Right, exactly.
And there's a lot of talent on the field here. And let's start with Ethan Mon, who's 6 weeks into the season, 5 weeks into the season. This is week six. 600 yards right on the button, 15 touchdowns, 13 rushing. He's averaging 8 yards a carry and 120 yards a game. And he's won of what I call the three-headed monster at St. Clair with Colin Augusta and Ben Davidson. In fact, Mon and Augusta combined 989 yards rushing and 19 touchdowns this season.
That's ridiculous. And Ethan Mon, just a sophomore. How
just
about
a
that?
Sophomore.
How about that? That's crazy. What a bright future for that
kid
right there.
Six touchdowns last week.
Yeah, that's quite the number.
Two kick returns. Over 200 yards rushing.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. And we haven't even mentioned Ben Davidson, who is a basketball star.
Right, yeah.
And who announced, Sunday that he's going to go to Ferris for basketball.
Ferris State for basketball.
But he's, you know, 7 touchdowns rushing this year. And if he touched the ball, he'd probably have more. He'd have more, but, you know, Mon and Augusta need their carries too.
Yeah, for sure.
But he's also their leading receiver.
Right.
So he's a dual threat.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Just put the ball. He's one of those players you just got to put the ball in his hands. He's going to make it happen. I mean, what an incredible season for Ethan Mon, too. I mean, that's wild. Ben Davidson's dad, John Davidson, cross country coach, he was tweeting us the scores, who's scoring throughout the night when I was over at Port Huron Northern. I felt like Ethan Mon's name came up every 5 minutes, like on my Twitter feed, just saying, like, oh, Ethan Mon scored. Ethan Mon scored. I'm like, does he have 6 touchdowns? Because, I mean, I like, in my head, I'm thinking, like, there's no way he has 6 touchdowns, but that's what it feels like. No, sure enough, after the game he did. He's having a great season. St. Clair really is really surprising me this year.
They're 3-2.
Yeah.
Do they even have 20 kids on the team?
Who knows?
The numbers have been very low, but that hasn't affected them one bit.
No.
But here's the thing for them. They need to win 3 of their last 4 games.
This is when it gets tough, yeah.
And they've got Marine City this week, and I know the Mariners are 1-4, and we'll talk to them. I'll talk about them in just a second.
For sure.
But this is not an easy game.
No, no.
Lakeshore, okay. The same. I see the Saints beating Lakeshore, obviously.
Yeah.
And then Marysville, who will likely be undefeated going into that game, or there's a good chance. They have to play Northern the week before.
I think they'll go undefeated.
But and then they close out with Cousineau, out of the Mac Blue, who's 4-1 right now, and is a high scoring football team that I'm told has a D1 prospect at quarterback and running back.
Yeah, that's
so this
fun.
Is not an easy way to go. If the St. Clair Saints, there are two teams that could automatically become the story of the year by winning 3 of their next 4 games.
Yeah,
the St. Clair Saints and the Yale Bulldogs.
Yes,
if either of those teams make the playoffs, Matt, they're the team of the century in this area. Because they're good football teams, but they have tough schedules and a tough road, and they will have earned it if they get there.
Oh, it's very backloaded. It's almost the opposite of what Marine City has, really. I mean, Marine City's schedule is so front-loaded. And now, I mean, right here with the bell battle between St. Clair and Marine City is when Marine City's schedule gets, I can't say easy, but I guess not as difficult as their first four or five games. And this is where St. Clair's season starts to get a little more difficult.
Yeah, I mean, if you win this one and get to 4-2, and then you beat Lakeshore, and you're 5-2,
yeah,
and you get two cracks at that sixth win, Marysville and Cousineau, at least, you know, you're thinking to yourself, all right, we got two tries at this to get a sixth win.
Right.
But if you lose this game to Marine City and you go 3-3 and you've got to win out, you really have to look at that situation like, you know, it's nothing's impossible in high school football.
Right.
But you're like, man, if you do that, you deserve a medal.
It would be, yeah, it would be considered an upset if they win in week 8 or 9. I think we could both agree right there. So,
and you're kind of in the same boat here with Marine City. They're 1-4. They got to run the table.
Yeah, they have
and
to.
If they do run the table because of their schedule, there's a real good chance as a 5-4 team, they'll get in.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And they've got to be looking at it as if we can get through this game with St. Clair, then we play Tower, then we play Lakeshore.
Yep.
They're going to win those games.
Yeah.
Now you're 4-4 going up against Grosse Pointe North in week 9, and that changes your – it's a tough game, but it changes your mentality
for sure
when you know that you'll be rewarded if you win that game.
Yeah, kind of reminiscent of last year, too. Who'd they play in week 9 last year? Cousineau. That's what I thought it was. Yeah, that was a must-win game, not just for Marine City, but for Cousineau. That was a must-win game for Cousineau, too, and they took care of business. So it could be a deja vu of week 9 last year. I know we're getting ahead right now with it not even being week 6 wrapping up just yet, but still, I mean, it's hard not to think about what could happen if they win this game against St. Clair.
And you have to kind of measure that out. What does this game mean to these teams? Well, it might mean everything
right
to both these teams.
I know it's cliche to say, but I think this is a must-win game for both teams. I really do think that.
And like we said, a lot of talent on the field. We mentioned the three guys from St. Clair, but MJ Frank has got it going now. He returned the opening kickoff last week for a touchdown.
Yep.
Scored two more rushing. They're using him a little bit more on offense than they did at the very start of the season. Dawson Haney. Hey, as long and Cole Sobel and Ryan Alexander is back now, and as long as the Mariners control the football and don't turn it over, because turnovers was a big bugaboo. And when you're playing good teams will expose you when you turn over the football. As long as they take care of the football, I mean, they're a 1-4 team. Sky's the limit.
Yeah, no, just so you're saying with all those players, I mean, they're doing really good. They're really well-rounded, too. I mean, Alexander, Frank, Haney, they all had great games. I mean, no one really shined the brightest. It was a pretty well-balanced attack. And I think Cole Sobel had his best game of the year last week, too. And just talking with Ron Glodish about that, it's just more repetition, getting more used to it. And, I mean, really, that's been huge for the Mariners. And also, speaking of huge, how about Jetson Houston's field goal?
Yeah,
in the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
not bad. What was it, like 36 yards?
She's a good kicker. They've had two in a row now. Everybody knows the Olivia Viney story,
of course.
But Jetson Houston can kick the ball.
To have a high school field goal kicker that could reliably hit it from 30, 35, even 40 yards, that's such a luxury to have in high school football.
Think about it. In the last 5 years in our area, three of the top kickers have been female.
Yeah.
Because you had two at Marine City, and of course, Port Huron Northern had a girl kicker a couple years back, too, Vanderhovel, and she didn't miss.
Right.
She didn't miss. And they'd be chanting her name during extra points. I mean, that's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, that is. Yeah.
You got the whole student section chanting your name, and here comes the snap, and I better not miss this because they're all expecting me to make it.
And usually the extra point is when you know you're getting up, going to the bathroom, getting something from the concession stands. Yeah. I mean, that's an afterthought normally.
Yeah. The other big story in the gold is if Marysville and Northern both win this week, and in my opinion, they should.
Yep.
Northern goes to Lakeshore. I don't know the status of Billy Falco. I was going to ask you if you'd heard anything.
I have not heard anything, but I would imagine he is in line to play.
Yeah,
just from what I've heard after the game on Friday.
And again, Lakeshore is really struggling this year, so I expect Northern to take care of business. Yep. And Marysville clinches a playoff berth with a win this week. There's no way in my mind again that Warren Tower is coming to Walt Braun Viking Stadium and doing anything but going home with a loss.
Yeah.
So you'll have a situation then, again, jumping ahead to week 7, Northern Marysville.
Yeah.
That's basically for the MAC Gold title.
Absolutely.
Because we expect Marysville to be 6-0 and 3-0 in the league.
Yeah.
And we expect Northern to be 5-1 and 3-0 in league. And that'll be that. That'll be for the league championship.
Yeah.
Did you think going into the season that when we talked about the MAC Gold championship game, we'd be talking about the Northern Marysville game?
I would love to lie to you and say absolutely to make myself sound smart, but no, I did not think this would happen. No, no. I didn't think Marysville was going to be undefeated like they are right now, too. I mean, to be honest, I thought they were going to take a week one loss to Richmond, but I mean, this team is so good. The best run offense, without a doubt, in the area. Pretty strong defense, too, with what we've seen. So, yeah, it's definitely been a surprise. And I knew Northern was going to take a leap this season. But to also, like, beat Marine City and take care of business like they have ever since that week one loss, I mean, definitely two impressive stories for Marysville and Northern.
Now, I know Northern's going to go out every week and try to win every single game. But Lakeshore and Tower are still on their schedule. Those are two teams that I definitely think they're going to beat.
Yeah.
So in my mind, there's your 6 wins right there, and anything else is gravy at this point.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you know they'd like to beat both Marysville and Port Huron.
Oh, without question. Come on. Of course. Of course.
But we'll see what happens. But it's fun to be able to even have the conversation and talk about it because we're not all that far removed from a Northern team that – didn't win any games, then won one game, then yep. won 2 games. So, you know, they've come a long way in a short time.
Absolutely.
Which leads us to our next topic.
Oh, boy.
Your Algonac Muskrats.
My Algonac Muskrats.
You have jumped down the Algonac bandwagon, and I don't blame you.
Yeah, I have.
I'm right there with you.
The defense is phenomenal. I mean, how can you deny that defense? That's why we have them ranked number 1 in the Times Herald football poll. Listen, I mean, it's tough choosing between them or Marysville, but I'm a defense guy. As soon as I see someone really crack Algonac's defense, then, yeah, then I'll start rethinking it a little bit. It'd
be fun to have them meet in a playoff game, don't you think?
I would love that. Yeah, they had that scrimmage. I wish we could just do that after the season, too. I mean, shoot.
But yeah, I mean, you look at it, each week we say, okay, now they're facing a better offense than they've faced yet this season.
Right.
And every week they rise to the challenge.
Absolutely.
And last week, Croslex. I mean, Croslex can move the football and they can score points.
Yeah.
And Algonac stopped them.
Yeah. I mean, it's absolutely impressive with what they did against Croslex because I thought that game of both teams scoring in the 20s. But no, I mean, it's definitely still in the teens. And Yale's going to present a good challenge with them, too. I mean, Yale had that tough loss to Armada, and they came back and they kept Richmond close, which, I mean, Richmond is obviously a great team in the BWAC. So I think Yale does have what it takes to make this a competitive game. With that being said, I still do expect Algonac to take the win here.
Yeah, Yale, I talked about what St. Clair has to do in their last 4 to get to 6 wins. Yale sitting at 3-2.
That's a crazy end. Yeah.
Algonac, Elmont, Croslex, Swan Valley.
Yeah, no, thank you. That is wild.
Again, if they make it in, they earned it.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, that's what a story that would be.
That's brutal.
Yeah.
That's brutal. But, I mean, it's every week and everybody. I mean, Algonac has this Yale game, which is a tough game. Mm-hmm. They still have to play Richmond.
Yep.
Richmond is playing Elmont this week.
Yep.
And still has to play Algonac. Even Croslex and Yale haven't played yet.
Right.
So
that's always a great showdown.
Yeah. They always have some great games. So
yeah.
There's still a lot to be determined, but again, I like Algonac this week. I like Richmond this week. And then I like them both the following week. When they play, Algonac plays Armada and Richmond plays Imlay City.
Yep.
And then they play each other. So to me,
undefeated in the BWAC,
that's going to be for the BWAC championship in a couple of weeks. Yeah.
How awesome is that going to be too in week 8? I mean, if it happens, I mean, of course Yale could surprise us.
Yeah, Yale could be the team to throw. Elmont could be a team to throw a wrench into it this week.
Right. Yeah. Don't want to discount what they're doing this season either.
So a lot of fun still to go in the everywhere.
Yeah.
And then, of course, because I know you don't cover these guys, but I like to throw it out there
for
whenever
sure.
I can. You got 5-0 New Haven Merritt going to 5-0 Owendale Gagetown this week.
And that'll be a fun one.
Mid-Michigan eight-man football crossover because they've broken it up into two divisions this year. And those are the two division leaders going head-to-head this week. And they average, they both average about 50 points a game. So
there we go. Scoreboard operator has to keep the coffee by his side for that one.
You're going to hurt your finger working the scoreboard on that one. All right, Matt Sheehan is here from the Times Herald. We're talking high school football. We'll take a break and then more Dennis Stuckey Show in just a moment here on WPHM.
Back to more Dennis Stuckey on Information 1380 WPHM.
Welcome back. Yeah, St. Clair South Lake had 56 kick returns for touchdowns.
Yeah,
there were safeties all over the place. Northern had two safeties in their game.
Yeah.
I was looking at some of the other MAC scores. Lanscruz North lost 51-2. And the weirdest score that I've ever seen in football, ever, Grosse Pointe North beat Grosse Pointe South 8-4.
That's awesome. I love that. That's
eight
great.
8-4.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
That's field goal and extra point, right? Is that it? Or?
Yeah. I mean, well,
that's crazy.
Well, they got two safeties, obviously, for their four, and who knows? For all I know,
it could have been a touchdown and a safety on the other end, too.
A safety at the other end,
It's game of field position.
I guess.
That's a textbook, the game of field position right there.
Yes, that's just a weird score. But we had a 7-2 game to open the season between Algonac and Marine City.
Yeah, that seemed fitting, too. Yeah.
So I've seen some weird ones. I once broadcasted a 3-0 game where the field goal happened as time ran out.
Wow.
The kid had never made one all season, and he kicked like a 32-yarder that scraped the crossbar as it was going in.
That's incredible. That's incredible. Wow, how about that?
that was a classic. Up when I worked in Caro.
Oh, gosh. I was going to say it was a local teams? Or
yeah, it was Caro and, like, Essexville Garber.
Got it. Wow.
At the time, they were two really bad teams.
Got it. Okay.
Whoever won the game, that was their only win in the season, and the other team didn't win one.
Got it. Well, that's awesome for that kicker to have that moment.
So these things happen. So we're officially halfway through the football season. In your mind, what's the biggest story or the biggest shocker to you?
Biggest shocker.
What's the biggest disappointment?
The biggest, I'll start with the biggest shocker, I think, is, give me St. Clair. I think they're doing really well so far, a lot better than I thought they would. The depth I thought was going to be an issue this year. They've proven so far that it really hasn't been an issue, especially with the ability to win a high-scoring game like they did against South Lake. I say that's the biggest surprise. Another big surprise also, too, is that Armada Yale game that happened. If that game is a Yale win, it's a different BWAC season, really. I mean, Yale, once again, I thought they were going to be a playoff team last season, ran into a tough schedule to start the year. Now they're going to run into a tough schedule to end the year, and I'm not sure if they'll make playoffs now, which is crazy
to
say.
And an extra win against Armada right now, going into it 4-1 this stretch.
Right.
Against 3-2 would make a big difference.
Absolutely, yeah, because you figure even if they just do get to 5-4, that they'll get in on points maybe. Like, it's in the realm of possibility, but now getting to 5 wins, it's going to be a tough task. But, I mean, again, they can do it. I'm not counting them out entirely, but I'd be surprised if they did do it. Biggest disappointment? I'm going to have to nominate an entire conference, unfortunately, for that. GTC East, I think.
I can't disagree with that. I mean, especially when you look at it.
Yeah.
Now, Ubley aside, because Ubley's 5-0, so they're doing what Ubley does.
Right.
But generally, Harbor Beach is very strong.
Right.
Sandusky was an 11-1 football team last year that went deep into the playoff. Had the best team
best
in
year
school
of school history.
Yep. Now, I realize a ton of seniors
everyone's gone
on that team, and everyone's gone. But I didn't think that it would be this much of a rebuild
right.
for them this season. Brown City disappointed me last year.
Yeah.
And they're not getting the results this year either. And Marlette, a team that I'm used to reading about how they got 500 and 600 yards of offense right. a game for the last decade.
Yeah.
They can't move the football or score this year.
Right. I mean, and just before the season, looking too, you're like, all right, well, Sandusky's going to lose a lot of kids. I don't know what season they're going to have. And then you go to Marlette, you're like, well, shoot, they're losing a lot. Then Brown City, it's like, oh my God, they lost a lot of athletes. Then Memphis, I mean, they're having a hard time fielding the team. So kind of get the feeling it's going to be a rough year. I didn't know it was going to be this tough of a year, though, to the point where, you know, they're all four of those teams are going to walk into GTC's play without a win at 0-3. So that's, I got to say, that's been a surprising and a disappointment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would go there as well. Yeah, at this point, you got Memphis, Marlette, Brown City, and Sandusky are a combined 2-18.
Right.
I didn't see that coming.
No, I did not. No. I mean, yeah, I knew it was going to be a little bit down year. 2-18, though. Did not see that coming. But you hope this means good things for the future, too, hopefully building up those young players.
And they play a lot of crossovers, obviously, with the GTC West. I didn't realize those teams over there were as good as they
that
are.
That is a good league this year. Yeah, without a doubt.
They're calling it the Wild West over there, and they do.
Rightfully so. I like that nickname. Yeah. That's a good one. I can appreciate a good nickname.
they've got a lot of teams that are doing really well, and a lot of teams with cool names like the Hatchets.
Oh yeah, come on, that's amazing.
Vulcans.
Yeah, that's incredible. Even USA, just Unionville Seawing. Yeah. I mean, just to have your nickname be USA, that's awesome.
And Seawing is not an easy one to say.
I screw that up every time.
If you've never said it before and you see it in print for the first time.
Oh, I've said it 100 times and I screw it up still.
you're going to say it wrong a couple of times. Yep. So it took me years to get that down. Seawing. That's not what it looks like to me.
Right. So, big story, though. Was that the first one he asked? Who's the biggest story?
Yeah, who do you think?
Shoot.
Obviously, you know, we mentioned numbers at St. Clair.
Yeah.
That might end up being a blessing in disguise for the Saints because a sophomore like Ethan Mann might not have gotten the playing time that he gets now.
Right.
And we have discovered that they've got a monster back there.
Yeah, I mean, just going to breakout players individually, he's, I think, by far the breakout player of the year. And even in the same backfield, Colin Agosta, I mean, he's just the growth he's made from last year. I mean, his improvement has been off the charts. I've really been impressed with him. Ben Davidson, I mean, you obviously know he's a good athlete, but I didn't know he could contribute this much on a football field. So, I mean, those three have definitely been breakout players, without a doubt. Phil Grefour making noise for Marysville at running back, too. Going from quarterback to running back, I mean, and he's done it like he's been a running back his entire career.
Yeah, some kids would pout about that like it's a demotion. He's just embraced it. And he's been one of their best players, maybe their best player.
For sure, yeah. He's hit the ground running without a doubt. I mean, obviously you saw it against Marine City where he put up 142 yards. Not in the first half, but in the first quarter.
Like the first 6 minutes of the game.
That was pretty wild. He's put up fantasy numbers immediately. That was wild. So, yeah, he's definitely also been a breakout player as well. So, a lot of breakout performers in the MAC for sure.
Yeah, he had 100 yards on his fourth carry of that game.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad at all.
You know, they weren't playing some small, you know, out of the way school. They were playing Marine City that night.
Right, yeah. And if I had to go to the BWAC, too, to nominate a breakout player, I mean, Chase Churchill, quarterback for Richmond, obviously he's doing good. I thought everyone saw that coming, though. Joe Hayden, though, the new kid from Tennessee.
Yeah.
New kid from Tennessee. Wasn't going to play football until January. Hasn't played since his freshman year back at school down south. Started the season as a wide receiver to get used to the offense, and now he almost broke a school record in rushing yards with more than 400 against Albont. Albon, yeah. that's no cupcake team.
and that kind of came about, too, because Sergeant was there, and then he got hurt, right?
Yeah, he did get hurt, and Austin Smith also was out with a concussion as well. So it went from a three-headed monster in the backfield to just one guy, and, man, he took care of business that night. So, I mean,
talk about putting it on your shoulders and just carrying them.
For sure. I can see Kruzlex also making that run in the playoffs, too. I mean, they've had very close losses against very tough teams. I mean, they're still a great team, without a doubt. I mean, what are they, 4-2 now? I still think that doesn't even show how good of a team they are. So as weird as that is to say, really.
No, yeah, and that's the thing about the BWAC is that you've got these teams that all could go 7-2, 8-1 every year,
right?
If they played in a conference that didn't include each other,
right? Exactly.
You know, it's hard.
Conference
of
Doom.
Your Algonac, your Richmond, your Almont, your Croslex, your Yale. And every year you play games and knock each other off and give each other losses, you know.
It's like how every World Cup there's a group of death. Like, it's a conference of death, really. I mean, it's crazy.
Put any one of those teams in the GTC East this year and nobody touches them.
Oh, come on. Yeah, of course. I would like to see what they could do in the MAC Gold, too. That'd be entertaining.
Yeah.
How about that? Whew.
Hey, they made a statement against the MAC teams last year.
Oh, yeah.
The MAC teams. They did very well in the crossover games.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, the idea that they're a bunch of farm boys that can't keep up, they can keep up.
Yeah, they can. Yeah, they can. Yeah.
Let's a game that is not going to get ballyhooed a lot this week is KPAC at Imlay City.
Yeah.
But the Chiefs are trying to get their first win of the year. And I was just kind of looking at their schedule. And if I were a team in the area with three wins, I'd want KPAC's schedule. No offense to these teams, but they're going to play Imlay City, then Croslex, Armada, and Brown City. That's a schedule where you could win three out of four, maybe.
Absolutely. You know, that KPAC Brown City game at the end of the season, I mean, that's actually going to be a competitive game. Like, that's going to be a nice one to watch, I think.
And they're, you know, kind of close enough to be, you know, kind of a rival.
Yeah, I would call it a rival, sure.
It's two different leagues, but they're just up the road from each other. And
right.
So, yeah, that actually could be a fun game. The Armada game with KPAC should be a fun game. Armada has kind of surprised me this year. I mean, it's been a while since we've gone into week five of a season and the Tigers have played a meaningful league game.
Yeah.
And their game last week with Almont was a meaningful game.
Yeah.
They actually took the field with a better league record than Almont last week going into the game.
How about that? Look at the Tigers.
Yeah. So, I mean, there have been some things that have surprised me and some things that haven't surprised me. I'm not as surprised about Marysville being where they're at.
Got it.
Right now. In fact, Joseph was sitting with me in the press box opening night, and at halftime, I said, you know, if Marysville beats Richmond, the only other game on their schedule that I thought would be a really tough one. And at that time, I didn't know how good St. Clair and Northern were going to be.
Sure.
So those may end up being tough games.
Yeah.
But I said, it's Marine City. And at that time, I didn't know how much Marine City was going to struggle to start. But I thought everybody else on their schedule is a team that not only can they compete with, but I just think they're better than.
Yeah. I think so, too. I also think, too, for Marine City, I think they will go the rest of the season without a regular season loss, without a doubt. Now, what's going to happen in the playoffs? Especially with the tough district that they're in, I don't know yet. I don't have the confidence to make that decision yet. But the rest of the season, I think they will be MAC Gold champions.
It's a different animal once you get into the playoffs.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Yeah,
everybody in the playoffs is pretty good.
Yeah,
usually
for sure.
Certainly after you get through the first round games, there's nobody there that doesn't belong.
You can get your straggler in week one in the playoffs
I can remember Detroit Prep showing up to a game at East China Stadium with about 14 guys and getting smoked 60 something.
Yeah, 10 minutes before kickoff. Yeah, I was at that game. Yeah, Marine City scored every single possession they had. So it was 40 degrees, raining sideways. The Detroit Central coach gets off the bus 10 minutes before kickoff. He looks me right in the eyes and says, "I want to get the bleep out of here." I was like, "Okay, that's the spirit. That's the right attitude headed in here." Yeah, so that was pretty wild.
And they did.
Yeah, they got out of there as soon as they could with the running clock in the second half.
That one was pretty much over from before kickoff.
Yeah, that was.
Some people think that's an easy game to broadcast, but that's a long broadcast for you.
It's the longest short game of all time.
Yeah, because you're like, where do you go? What do you say after a certain point?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. What do you think the coach said at halftime, too, of the game? Like, it's been a good season.
Don't get hurt.
Like,
don't get hurt, guys.
Yeah.
Let's go home healthy.
I think Marine City pulled all their starters after it was 14-0, too, midway through the first quarter.
Yeah, I mean, because
and they could have.
They knew they were going to have a big game the next week against Elmont.
Elmont, yeah, yeah. Man, that was Elmont, a cold night too. Elmont team was incredible that year.
Yeah. Jet sweep left, jet sweep right.
Yeah.
Jet sweep left, and jet sweep white. You know it's coming. You can't stop
right.
it.
And a defense where it looked like they were playing with 18 kids on the field. Like it was unbelievable. Their defense was unbelievable that year.
They were super, super fast.
Yeah, they lost 21-14 in the semifinals. I couldn't believe a team scored 20 points on them. I could not believe it when I saw the score. So, yeah.
See, we're just reminiscing.
Yeah, now we're going to the glory days.
Now we're going to the glory days. Okay, now we're going to go to a break, but we'll come back. Show's flying by here, and it always does when you come in.
Oh,
that's why I ask you to come in every week, so that I have at least one fast show.
Trying to get you through the Wednesday.
Every week. We'll take a break here, and we'll be back in just a moment on the Dennis Stuckey Show.
It's the Dennis Stuckey Show on 1380 WPHM.
Welcome back. It's the Dennis Stuckey Show along with Matt Sheehan from the Times Herald.
Hello, everyone.
Let's talk more football, we'll change from high school because you follow college probably a lot more than I do.
Namely the Spartans, I apologize to all the Spartans.
That's fine, although I'm actually nervous about the Indiana game. I'm hugely disappointed about the Wisconsin debacle. I think debacle is a fair word.
That sums it up pretty well. Yeah.
Here's what I see happening. I see Michigan crushing Wisconsin this week.
Yeah, no, I see that too, for sure.
And I see the Spartans struggling with Indiana. Indiana can score.
Yeah, Indiana's going to get their 400 yards, and they are, especially the Spartan secondary, which is less than inspiring. There's no pass rush. Wisconsin's quarterback is probably still in a pocket at Spartan Stadium right now waiting for someone to hit him because that's how long he had to throw. He was there forever. You can knock the secondary, which I have and am, but at the same time, you can only ask for so much out of those guys too. Like they can't cover the receivers the whole afternoon. At some point, you got to get the pass rush, which is nice that they burn the red shirts of those two freshmen, Josh Keane, Austin Robertson. You probably don't know those names now, but you will as the season gets on and as their careers progress. I think it only makes sense because the D line doesn't have a lot of depth. Obviously, they don't have a lot of skill behind Malik McDowell, who's getting double-teamed every play and can't run the quarterback every play. So it's nice that they burn those red shirts and are trying to do something about it right now.
My wife is getting tired of me every time Donnie Corley makes a play of me going, yeah, I remember Donnie Corley when he was with King.
Yeah.
And they came up and played PH. I did that game.
Oh, nice.
He returned an interception for a touchdown, and then he caught a long bomb for a touchdown. I knew he was going to be good back then.
Oh, man, that's right. Shoot, called the shots. I like it. That's great. No, what?
I hear that story every week.
Here's what I think is going to happen against Indiana, though. I think it'll be a close game at halftime. Perhaps MSU goes down 10. Then they'll change their quarterback at halftime. I think they'll put Lou Werke in, redshirt freshman. I apologize. I think they're going to try to do something with him. I'm not going to say MSU is good. I don't have the gusto and the confidence to say MSU will beat Indiana, which is alarming alone to say that I don't think they'll beat Indiana with confidence. So, but
you know what I'd like them to do? Put Terry in and make him throw a pass.
Oh,
because when he comes in the game, everybody knows it's a run play for the quarterback.
Right. No, they actually put up.
Fool him
right.
And let him throw the ball.
They put up on the Jumbotron. He's running up the middle whenever he takes the play at quarterback. You could put the kicker Michael Geiger back at quarterback, and that would fool me more than like what Terry's going to do with the ball. Let me guess. He's going to run up the middle for 2 yards. Oh, he did again.
Crazy. I'm happy when they get 2 yards because everybody knows.
Everyone.
What's going to happen?
Bring the whole stadium in the box. You know what's going to happen. Or maybe I think it's a slow burn for like a trick play against Michigan or Ohio State. Because at that point, everyone's going to forget that he is actually technically a quarterback at some point. So,
fair to say, though, that the biggest game in the state of Michigan is going to be CMU and Western.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Row the boat. Actually, I don't really care who wins that game, but I'm definitely intrigued by it. I'm definitely interested in watching it for sure. That's awesome that both programs are
good. I'll probably lean towards CMU just because, you know, Mark Chapman and the local guys
for sure.
Up there. But Western really intrigues me. They've beaten two Big Ten teams.
Yeah.
And, they've a couple of years ago, or it might even been last year, that Michigan State, you know, only beat them by like, you know, 10 points or whatever it was. And I'm thinking, it can't be. But now I understand that Western Michigan's actually a really good program.
Yeah, that coach is incredible, too. The energy he brings, I mean, such a young guy. He's got an awesome future ahead of him. But yeah, it's going to be a nice game, too, because that's at CMU, I believe. Is that right?
That's up in
CMU under the lights. Shoot, what an atmosphere that's going to be.
And two high-scoring run-and-gun teams, so that could be 75-71 by the end of the night.
If you own a liquor store in Mount Pleasant this weekend, oh, man, what a windfall that is for you this weekend. Whew, just buy that boat right now.
Just with DJ up there, they're probably making a lot of money.
Oh, man. Now, that's going to be a great game. And also, of course, your Lions are playing this Sunday.
I'm going to say this right now. And then you can tell me what you think of the Lions.
Yeah, go for it.
But if they do not beat the Chicago Bears this week, the entire coaching staff should be fired.
I mean, that's extreme to say, but I'm kind of on the lines of that because here I am watching the Bears play the Cowboys. But was that Sunday night or Monday night? It was one of the
nights.
Well, no,
number,
it was Sunday
number
night.
Number one, I couldn't believe that it was a nationally televised primetime game.
No, of course, and it shouldn't have been, but I'm watching it Sunday night, and I'm looking at this Bears team, I'm thinking, there is no way the Lions should lose this team, which means
they will probably lose this team. Well, here's the thing. The Bears signed Joique Bell yesterday.
Did you know he went to Wayne State, let alone fact? They only say it.
So does Brady Beaton.
Wow.
He went to Brady.
My man Brady.
Brady Beaton State. Four tackles, three solos, and a sack when he finally got into his first game.
That does not surprise me.
2 weeks ago against Lake Erie.
That's awesome.
I don't think he played in the last game. They played Tiffin last week.
Got it.
And I don't think he got into that one. Or if he did, he didn't get a tackle because he wasn't on the stat sheet.
Yeah, he's probably being triple teamed at that point. Yeah. You got to fear Brady. but no, I mean, if the Lions don't win this game, I know it's a road game. Okay, yeah, sure. Against Brian Hoyer and the Bears, whose defense resembles like four NFL players and like seven people they pulled from the stands before the game.
Okay. They have Jeffries. Okay. He'd be good on a different team.
Sure. He can't wait to get out of that contract.
Oh, you know it. But no, they're horrible. They're horrible when Cutler plays.
Yeah.
Let alone with Hoyer back there.
Yeah.
And if you're signing Joique Bell, you're riddled in the backfield. Yeah. But can't you just see it? And I'm not saying it's going to happen, but couldn't you just see it? Joique Bell on 2 days practice doesn't know the offense. Rushes for 120 yards and three touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not as old and grizzled as many Lions fans are, but I've been watching long enough to pretty much come to expect that to happen. I wouldn't be surprised to see that happen, actually, because, I mean, the Lions lose differently every week. For them to get beat up by a running back they let go on 2 days practice, like, that'd be like, okay, that's how they do it this time. That's how they lost this one. At least it's creative. At least it's entertaining.
I'm sorry. And not only should they win, they should win by multiple touchdowns.
Oh, yeah. It should be a double-digit game. But again, with the Lions, you never know. Like the Tennessee Titan game should have been a double-digit win, but they made it a loss.
That one will annoy me. Here's the thing. They barely beat the Colts.
Yeah.
The Colts
are not good.
They blew a big lead and then had to pull it out of their you-know-whats at the end. To get the win,
which was impressive, but
then you come home and you play the Titans, and I realize, the referee made a bad call on Ebron. They had 17 penalties in that game, and what are you doing in a 1-point game at home with the Titans?
Right, yeah, exactly. That's what it comes down to. Yeah, you can point to the penalties, but they should have scored more than 20 points that game.
Yeah, and it was a nice comeback in Green Bay. But Green Bay got up so big so fast that happens a lot in the NFL where the team calls off the dogs and then it's hard to turn it back on again when the other team gets close. But I looked at their schedule and the opponents that they were playing in the first 6 weeks and thought to myself, 5-1.
Oh, really? Okay.
Not because I think they're good, but because I think everybody they play – they're like the five teams that are worse than the Lions.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and if I could just Jekyll and Hyde here. Like, so Well, it is tough to be 1-2 right now, especially with that loss against Tennessee. If you told me before the season that after the first four games they'd be 2-2, I think I would have taken that. Because, I mean, the first four games, in my opinion, like that's the toughest stretch of four games the entire season. From here on out, it is a lot of winnable games. Then again, you got to go to Minnesota two more times. But again, if they can get out of the first four games 2-2, as negative as I sound right now, in reality, I do think it would be a good start to the season. I'm not going to say it's a great start.
It's a better start than last year.
Yeah, well, you got that right. So, But I can see them losing out Sunday, and that'd be 1-3, and then all the negativity that's been surrounding this organization forever will be once again justified.
Yeah,
will be once again same old lines justified.
So I call it a must win on Sunday against the Bears.
You got to beat the Bears.
You got to beat the Bears. You got to.
I can name teams in the area that could stay competitive against the Bears. I think Algonac and Marysville could. Yeah.
Give me Marysville's offense and Algonac's defense, and I'll give the Bears a game.
I was going to say, yeah, shoot. There's a question right there.
We'll take a break and then wrap up the show when we come back. All right, as we wind down the show today, we have about 3 minutes here.
Oh, boy. Let's make a count.
Tigers make the playoffs?
Yeah. You know what? From the start to the end, I've maintained that they will get the wild card spot. You know, I never thought they'd win the AL Central. I never thought they'd miss the playoffs. Until it's officially out, I'm going for the wild card here. I think they will.
Do they win the wild card?
Now you're asking tough questions. it would have to depend who the starter is. If it's JV or Fulmer, then I would think so. But as you can tell my voice, I'm not that confident
because it's looking like JV will have to pitch the last game of the season.
Right, yeah.
Which means then you've got to pitch Fulmer in the wild. Assuming you don't finish tied and have to play a tiebreaker game, which Fulmer would pitch, which would then leave you with
Norris or
Boyd, Zimmerman maybe, in a wild card game.
Yeah.
Which then leaves you with Boyd or Norris or Zimmerman or Sanchez.
Wow. Oh, man.
To play game one of a division series.
I can
unless you come back with Verlander on short rest.
Right. I can feel my blood pressure rising just as you go through that scenario. Oh, man. This isn't going to be a healthy end of the season for anyone here.
No. Five games to go, one game out.
Yeah.
And Baltimore playing in Toronto helps.
Yeah.
But still, I look at it. Two more games with Cleveland.
Yep.
I realized they slaughtered Cleveland last night. And
They slaughtered the Clippers, the Columbus Clippers last night. Yeah.
and they might get to play the Columbus Clippers tonight.
Let's hope so.
And tomorrow, too.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Which would help. But again, Atlanta is not a slam dunk. Two reasons. Number one, the Tigers never beat the teams they're supposed to beat the way they're supposed to beat them.
Yeah.
And number two, the Braves are playing their best baseball of the season here in the last month.
And just like you were saying off air, no DH, no Victor.
No DH, no Victor. You get Victor for three at-bats the last 3 days of the season. And if you guess wrong and put them up there in a situation where they can walk them, then you lose one of your at-bats. So you only get three swings from Victor.
Yeah, it'd be a stressful five games here.
nothing etched in stone. And the way Brad Ausmus manages too, I can see in Atlanta in the seventh or eighth inning in a tie game or a one run game, and it's the pitcher's spot. And instead of using Moya or Collins or Ibar, Andrew Romine to pinch hit here in the pitcher's spot, he's going to give me a professional at bat.
Yeah. Oh man, I can see that all happening actually.
Dixon Machado pinch hitting.
You know, I was really excited for the Tigers watching tonight. Now I'm just kind of sad because I can't see this all unfolding.
I'm the realist in the room, I want them to get there.
Do you think they will though?
And I want
do you think they will
to do well? You know what? They're a game back. I think they're going to finish a game back. It's not what I want.
Right.
Look at it. Even if they go 5-0, it doesn't get them in unless Baltimore loses two games.
Right. Yeah. And they're going to need to win four games.
Put it this way: they can win out. They still need Baltimore to lose a game.
This is where the Blue Water Area Concert Talk. 1380 WPHM, Fort Huron.